This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode of In The Black. Today, very exciting. I've really wanted to talk about this for a while. And we've got some really good ideas that we're going to get into. But before we get into this, obviously, today we're all talking about all types of stuff, CrossFit gyms, CrossFit affiliates. But, you know, if you guys know a little bit about our journey, we have, firstly, all the affiliates that we owned, we purchased all of them. They're existing affiliates. And the one, our original box that we sold recently, obviously to make room and make time for our new venture, which we're starting pretty soon. You guys know, yeah, it's a lot of buying and purchasing and selling, and it's a complicated process. And I think that, you know, we've been around long enough now, and we didn't even get started that early compared to some people. But, you know, we've had this whole rise of the box and the affiliate for a while now. And I think a lot of people are thinking to themselves, well, you know, maybe I want to do something else. I feel a bit stuck. Maybe I'm a bit burnt out. Maybe I'm just sick of running gyms and I want to do something else, but I don't know how to get out. I really don't know what to do with my gym. I don't know what it's worth. I don't know how to sell it. I don't know what this whole process is. I've heard about brokers before. Do I put it on Facebook Marketplace? I've seen some people do that. It's a very, you know, you can do it so many ways, but you can do it really wrong and you cannot get the money that you deserve for it. And if you find yourself in this situation that you're looking to sell your gym, then we do have a solution for you guys. So a company that we worked with was AFS Brokers. Now, so they're a partner of the podcast now, and you know, we used their services long before they've jumped on the show, and we just thought it was a really good fit because we're kind of in this era where the rise of the franchise, people looking to get out and sell, you know, whether you have an F45 or you have a CrossFit or whatever, but you don't really know where to start, and that's kind of the problem. Maybe you just want to find out what your business is worth. You don't even really want to sell it at all, but you're just curious what you could get for it. I think if you're thinking anything along those lines, then you should definitely check out AFS Brokers. They can definitely help you out, and they've been, you know, we got a really good pay for us. You know, they helped us sell through COVID, which is, you know, pretty incredible. And we definitely couldn't have done it without them. And we really had no idea where to start with this thing. So they have a massive list of buyers looking to purchase gyms for a great price. And yeah, if you guys are thinking along these lines, definitely check it out. So that's AFS Brokers. So AFSBROKERS.com.au, AFSBrokers.com.au. If you just send a business inquiry there, then you will be able to find out what your business is worth. Okay, cool. So guys, today we are getting into 20 changes that we would make if we owned CrossFit. Now, if you don't know, recently Craig Glassman sold CrossFit, which I think was a good move. We don't know the purchase price, do we?
We put in a bid.
$5. We said, we'll just take it. Just give it to us.
But yeah, we didn't. Unfortunately, we just missed out. It's hard to know exactly how much we missed out by.
Just missed.
Eric Rosa seems to have pipped us at the auction.
Chairman of True Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So I would say, like, you know, in a little bit of a way, CrossFit now sponsors the podcast because True Coach sponsors. So
yes, it does.
So obviously now we're pumping it.
We're a CrossFit podcast.
No, obviously not. They don't sponsor the podcast. But it got us thinking, what changes we would make if we own CrossFit. I mean, already Dave was CEO for a very short period, and he did make some cool changes, and now I'm guessing...
What changes did he make? I missed it.
Yeah, well, I saw a post, and I was like, oh, what did you do? I mean, people were like, oh, you didn't do very much. I'm like, he was CEO for like 6 days, motherfuckers. Do you have any idea how impatient you are? But he did. So, I think he put in the like the regional leaders or whatever. So, like, we have Matt Swift is like affiliate leader of Australia.
Okay.
And now there's like one for California. So there's like leaders of every region that are going to do stuff like visit and support affiliates in different regions.
Interesting.
And I thought that was a really good move. So like, cause that's just like a lot more, it's a lot more support.
Yeah.
And he did,
it's up from zero support.
Yeah. And then I think he was just really bringing back, some of the media coverage and, the CrossFit game stuff that, you know, got torn down was like, that was his next moves. So I think they were good. We obviously could have done a way better job than Dave in that week. And we're going to get into the changes we will make. And I think it's cool because I do think Eric is going to make some huge changes and it's going to be a lot better. But we got 20 here. And honestly, if we had more time, we could go for like 100.
Yeah. And you know what? We'll go through these 20 changes and, you know, we'd love to know your guys' thoughts. But if you have some changes that you think we missed out or maybe some you think are a bad idea, we'd love to hear from you guys as well. Like, it fucking warms our hearts when you guys reach out to us and give us funny messages or good ideas. So,
and if you think they're good, tag Eric Rosa and he might make these changes.
Well, I mean, True Coach is a sponsor.
Very decent chance he is a listener.
We could send this to him.
We could send this to him.
Okay, we'll send it to him.
All right, we'll send it to him.
We're going to send it
to him. We'll send it to True Coach and we'll say, this has to get
And if any Eric's of these hands. Things happen, we will take...
we'll take royalties. we'll take 0.5% of CrossFit.
Okay, number one. We would bring back regionals and make the CrossFit Games a season again, and along with that, the media team.
Mm. Yeah, I put this one in here because I felt like from the sort of general public level, the most exciting thing was regionals. Mm. And now, I know they cut it because it lost them a lot of money, but that just doesn't mean that it was bad. It just means that on paper, they needed to fix a few things. But I think it was definitely the most exciting thing. Being in an affiliate that cared about the CrossFit Games, even affiliates that didn't really care about the CrossFit Games, everyone would get behind regionals. There was a certain buzz at that time of year, and it obviously made the open more meaningful and more exciting. But I think when they got rid of it and they made sanctionals, I think sanctionals definitely has its benefits. I think it was good in a different way. It obviously allowed more spots to be opened up. But I think they could combine some kind of thing here. They might create more of a season. So you might have two regionals in a year and then one open or something. But I think that that whole buzz that was centered around regionals, I don't think they completely pulled it off in every region. But I think it was one of the most exciting times of the year. And I think it just made the sport feel more attainable for the people in the affiliate. Whether that's a good or a bad thing, I'm not really sure, 100% sure yet. But I think it was more exciting being in a CrossFit gym when they had regionals around.
Yeah, they need to find some sort of way where it's like a bit of a hybrid, where what was great about regionals was it was consistent around the world. So you looked forward to the event.
Yeah.
It gave you your chance very often for your affiliate to be represented on like some other stage, which like really brought together affiliates. And it seemed like the only problem with it was like particularly some of the remote CrossFit regionals like in South America and stuff would cost a fortune and be a nightmare. Remember like the whole like road shutdown and stuff? So they have to find some sort of middle ground where third parties put it on and sponsors get involved, like Waterpalooza and Dubai, which obviously work because someone's paying for them every single year. But just systemize them.
Yeah.
So it's not complete chaos at every single sanctional. And it's like, it's step one in the season, step two in the season, and you look forward to the whole season.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about this with Cara Saunders, but I think the magic of regionals, which didn't happen in any other part of the CrossFit Games season, was that the same workouts were on ahead of time each weekend in a row. And that's what good sport is. Good sport is a predictable set of rules and outcomes. Basketball, it's, all right, who can put the most balls in the hoop, you know, and score the most points. And that's what everyone looks forward to, the same tests every single week.
And also, you knew everyone that it made it to the CrossFit Games was legit because they'd been through this incredibly hard regionals weekend.
Much harder than sanctionals in many
ways. Yeah, because sometimes maybe it was just like an easy sanctional because it was hosted like, you know, in Iran and no one wanted to go.
Yeah, and the programming suited that person that came there,
like,
or whatever.
All water events or whatever. Yeah. So it was hard to know. And then also, there was an element of like, this is it, you know, that was a huge part. It was like everyone knew this
it built
is it.
To this,
this is where you prove yourself and you move on. And if you miss out, next year, bro.
Yeah.
So that would be sick.
Yeah, because like if you missed out in the sanctionals, like, it's all good. I got three more.
It's
I can
so
do this
confusing.
Year.
You can completely not qualify from everything, and then they just invite you randomly because someone tests positive.
Doesn't
like,
make any sense.
No.
Yeah. So the second thing we've got is, so this one is basically we would have multiple streams of different programs uploaded into a universal software that every affiliate would be required to use. So let's take the example of Waterfy, for example. I think it's the most suitable fit for
affiliates.
They should
just like buy Waterfy or something, right?
Yeah.
Bring it into the fold.
So say they own Waterfy and every single gym has to have Waterfy. And then what they would do is they would just have tons of programming. We'll talk about how affiliates would choose the right programming for them in a second. But they would have all the programming already pre-uploaded into Waterfy. So gym owners don't have to spend their time trying to write programs. I think you could just bring on they could just buy Training Think Tank and just bring the Training Think Tank guys on to write amazing programming all the time. And Training Think Tank can write like the most basic, simple regressions for someone, and they can write bodybuilding, and they can write strongman, and they can write, CrossFit the sport. Like, they have got the tests from everything. So I think that they brought on a programming team like that and just took care of it for affiliates, it'd be amazing.
Well, it's like NC Fit. You know, NC Fit does the programming. You jump on their app, there's like, Kalipa demonstrating the squad, and like, you could have that every day. You could have like unreal video demonstrations, all that stuff for your gym every single day. And that is how CrossFit started, was they offered you a program. You're like, cool, I'll run this program in my gym. So I'm not sitting around. They were never like in the beginning, okay, so you get a CrossFit gym and you make up the program.
Yeah.
That wasn't the thing. It was like, here's the CrossFit program.
It's hard to believe that that's what it was.
They give you a program. That's how it was. But the problem was that program, just never evolved. Mm. It's so minimal. It's just not appropriate for so many
legless
different
rope climbs
gyms
and backflips.
Yeah, it would be like, sense. You'd see the program, you'd be like, man, I don't have that equipment. or I don't have that much space in my gym, or getting 25 people to do that is just chaos because it's like 1-1-1 split jerk.
Yeah.
It's just not a thing. But they never offered more. Like, there should be lots and lots of streams of programming for different types of gyms. So, you could have like more of a powerlifting-focused gym, you know, endurance-focused gym. And then that's where the individuality would come in from the coaching, would just be what type of gym do I want to have?
Mm.
You know, not like, let's every Sunday night write a program.
Yeah, horrible. So, third thing we've got is to build an onboarding program that's mandatory for all gyms. I think that's probably the biggest point of criticism for all CrossFit gyms is they do no assessment and they do no individualization with clients coming to the gym. Individualization can just be like, all right, cool. What are your goals?
Yeah.
This. Okay, I recommend you do this class. I recommend you do this sort of mobility work. I recommend you see this trainer for this stuff right now. There's nothing like that. Most affiliates are just like jump into group or do a group on board where you do like dowel overhead squats and they all suck and you can't help anyone. You're like, all right, looks like you're ready for snatch. So, you got to just have a set onboarding program.
You'll get that low when the weight's heavy. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you use more weight, you'll get down there. Trust me. So, if there was just an onboarding program for all gyms, and it can be a flexible onboarding program, but a framework from which all gyms could operate, you would have the experience because you only get one first impression.
Yeah.
And most people's first impression of CrossFit is pretty bad, right? They get injured, it's too hard, it's too intense. We hear that so much. And it kind of just, unless the gym's really good and it has a good onboarding program, most really bad CrossFits that don't have an onboarding program at all, they just like jump into class. It's really just, in a way, survival of the fittest. It's just someone who rocks up, who already has some athletic background, who likes it and is kind of what they're looking for. And they can, you know, tolerate 100 kilo deadlifts for 100 reps in their first workout. And they want to come back and do it again the next day.
Yeah, it would separate them from F45 and all the other types of franchises. And the truth is, just look around. All the good gyms have a good onboarding program they've thought through. So, just, you know, make it mandatory or just offer it so that the other gyms like us, like we learned the hard way that you need an onboarding program after hurting a bunch of people that we probably could have done a better job of with our onboarding program.
Yeah.
So, they should have just supported us with that from the start.
And the reason that CrossFit needs an onboarding program and F45 was basically like, okay, so CrossFit is really complex. They're doing Olympic weightlifting and gymnastics, two of the hardest, most complicated high skill sports in the world. If we take all that out and just keep really low level stuff, we can skip onboarding. We can fill up classes straight away. That is the F45 model. That is what it was based off. But if you're going to stick to an affiliate which includes weightlifting and it includes gymnastics, they require so much coaching, more coaching than any other group fitness gym by a long shot. And that's why you need an onboarding program, because you need time to take people through to learn these movements. And that is the real separator. The separator is in the group class programming. So, you must onboard correctly in order to develop the skills so you can participate in those group classes. That's why F45 doesn't need it, because anyone can do a fucking box, you know, box jump, step over, bunny hop thing and battle ropes and, you know, bicep curls. And they're all good movements, but they took out all the hard stuff that needs coaching. You need coaching before you can do classes. Fourth thing.
Launch marketing ads paid extra for affiliates. So, this would be like an internal marketing agency. So, there's obviously demand because if you have a CrossFit gym, you can barely scroll one page on Instagram without getting 7 ads to sign up for one. And I think F45 has one where they support you with the marketing and you pay for it. But they could just do a really good job of it. You know, to be honest, most of the ones out there are really shit. They help you with marketing. They just take your money and then they just move on to the next client.
Yeah.
But I think that if CrossFit did it, they could probably do quite a good job. Not saying it'd be perfect and it would fill your gym, but it'd be more someone you could trust.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that having a good marketing agency, a powerful, strong marketing agency with a good message can really help affiliate owners bring new clients to their gym, because that's ultimately what they want. They want to keep growing their gyms, but they don't really have the time, energy, skill set to learn. The amount of time I put into marketing education courses, and I still feel like I have such a long way to go, and even I still outsource a lot of it as well. It's just it's a full-time job, and it requires a team. And to ask an affiliate owner to get their head around all that while still programming and coaching the classes, essentially what we're really doing with this list is we're trying to take some of the unnecessary stuff which you would want support with from the business owner's plate so that they can focus on the things that they're going to be uniquely better at. And so, if you pay, my affiliate's doing quite well, I'm happy to give $1,000 a month to the internal CrossFit marketing agency and they will run ads in my local area for me. So, yes. that would take care of the lead generation for you and it would be consistent. You could make sure the messaging was right. CrossFit could control the design and the look, and it's not going to be obviously perfect. I mean, you'd have to submit your logos and stuff like that, and there will be some stock footage or whatever, but they'll do it well and they'll do it better, and they'll target the message for the CrossFit affiliates and not the CrossFit sport. So you wouldn't get this mixed messaging. And so
I mean, even just Google Ads, like, it wouldn't be that hard to help people with their Google Ads, right?
Yeah. And I think it would just be just a great way to just really help. They could even just launch a really good lead generation software, which would just be like, hey, 10 ways an affiliate could, you know, turn you into the most fittest and athletic you've ever been. And just that's like just a universal download for anyone interested in CrossFit. Or 10 ways CrossFit is more beneficial for your body than other group fitness. And people would just download that and read about it and then say, and then at the bottom, it'd just be like, hey, contact your local affiliate, click a link, you'd go to a map, you can just pick your affiliate. Be a much better system.
Yeah, and I'm going to skip ahead. This next one fits in well, is that they should have territories. Because if you had territories, it would allow you to do this. The reason that, you know, they probably couldn't do this now is because there could be 7 CrossFits in a row right next to each other on the same street. But if they just brought back territories, if they just brought in territories like franchises do, then it's great. Because then it's just really clear, hey, you know, we'll run ads in this local area market that you have. And you know the area you own. It's easier to stay on friendly, good terms with other CrossFits, which doesn't actually really happen. And that's because you always feel like you're in some sort of competition.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just were like, no, like my territory, their territory, and we support each other, it just really supports that. And it just, it's, you know, it honestly hurts. You pay your affiliate fee, someone opens up on the same street. It's just silly.
What is the typical radius?
It really varies, like enormous variation.
You depending
know,
on
yeah, those. Yeah. Like, you know, Subway used to have huge ones and then it became like, you know, 50 meters. they're like tiny, tiny. Like, that's why you can have them like across the street from each other. Same with like McDonald's and stuff. But yeah, F45 was the same. Like big, you know, as it gets more popular, then it shrinks, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But then what would be good is like, you know, to be honest, like in Australia where it's become less popular again, you might start to expand territories.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, less people are inquiring. So we're going to expand the territory. So when you open a CrossFit gym, you're not sunk.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So the next one I would have is, now this is one, we got a thing later in the points, but I think this one would be a good one to just launch now. But I think in the future, in a year from now, you probably wouldn't need this one as much, but the most immediate thing you would do is have a business owner's training course for the affiliates. And so you would have, you know, modules on marketing, sales, finances, all like, you know, MPE could just launch a course for them, honestly, and just take everyone through the basic stuff, like how to, you know, manage your finances, how to manage cash flow, how to, you know, good sales practices, good marketing practices, good operational practices, how to hire, like what to look for in teams. Like, I think that so much of the basics is just missing, and people will just get so lost in terms of where they need to start. They just, and most people end up starting with trying to create an awesome social media account, and it's one of the fucking worst places to start when running a business. They just don't get the operational model down well. They wonder why people don't stay. So I think having that a paid affiliate business owners training course, man, they probably honestly should just give it out for free. They've taken so much money for nothing for such a long time that I think it'd be, you know, really useful for people.
Yeah, it'd be great. And then, you know, it's up to the affiliate. If you don't succeed, it's because you didn't put in the effort, but at least we've given you the training.
Yeah.
You know, whereas right now, they don't even give you the training.
Even if you implemented 10% of it, you do exponentially better in your business.
Send out regular feedback surveys. That would be a huge one. I mean, people are busting to give feedback, clearly. Yeah. And there's just really no platform to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, send out a regular feedback survey. So, number 7, a global analytics platform. So, basically, if you used a software like Waterfire, you would have a central place where you're collecting all the data on gyms. So, churn rates, how often people are leaving, how often people are staying, average price of the clients, all kinds of critical analytics. And basically, what you would do from that is you would have a set of standards that affiliates would need to meet. Hey, you know, you're turning over way too many clients, or like your classes are way too full, or you know, you're not charging enough. And so you'd have all these different standards. And then basically what you would do is if someone drops below that certain standard, whatever you deem that to be, you know, hey, you're not charging enough and you got too many people in classes and you're churning through too many clients or whatever, then, or you're not profitable for long enough, you would de-affiliate them. You would give them some warning, you would give them some time to improve, and you would support them. But if they just weren't meeting the standards, you would de-affiliate them.
Yeah, and that would just, when people go into a CrossFit, they know there's a certain standard
because
you know, you couldn't just do anything. And it would allow CrossFit to really see how many lives they're changing, because they would see, okay, you know, people are churning in CrossFit gyms less.
Yeah.
That's because they're succeeding. Like, we're doing a good job. as a CrossFit company. This would also allow you to have a global affiliates night. So you could have like a massive affiliate awards night in each continent, or like a global one, like the CrossFit Games where everyone goes to and has one then. But that would just be, honestly, it'd be fun and really rewarding. It's a chance for unbelievable networking.
Mm.
If you've ever seen like a multi-level marketing meetup, like they go nuts, they've got a stadium and like a pump up. And like, it doesn't have to be like that, but there should be something, you know, it should be like Greg on stage or not Greg anymore, Eric Rosa on stage, pumping everyone up. He's like, hey guys, you know, this many affiliates, we grew this year. We're changing more lives than ever.
Yeah.
We're going to do 6 talks, like one from John Berardi on nutrition.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd just be a whole lot of fun. It would bring everyone together. Other than like, really the CrossFit Games is that, but it's got nothing to do with running an affiliate.
If you had, like I think the CrossFit Games kind of did a bit of that. They had like affiliate owners.
Like we had a dinner. We had a dinner at the last
right at the regionals. Well, they have shit. It wasn't anything like this.
But no. If they had turned that dinner, so like an affiliate dinner they had at the regionals, that should have been a massive night, and they should be putting money into that, just like they put money into the regionals.
Yeah,
and it would motivate people.
Yeah, and like imagine being like, all right, cool. So we've got rookie affiliate of the year, like, you know, highest performing based off these numbers of affiliates that opened in the last 12 months, this one.
It's inspirational.
And then we've got like, you know, affiliate of the year in Australia or Australia and New Zealand. And it's like, you know, this gym turned over, you know, $1 million this year with 25% profit. Like they're killing it, blah, blah, blah. And it just like, even just that community of getting together, like people, affiliate owners would look forward to that all year. Franchises do it. They have summit franchises. They have the F45 Global Summit franchise. All the F45 owners get together. They all sit in a room. They eat food. They chat. They drink. They talk about how awesome battle ropes are. And they just build that sense of community amongst the business owners. And that's what affiliates need. They need something like that. They are starved for it. And that is why they've all turned against each other. Because, there's essentially nothing there. Which brings us to the next point, which is number 10. A pricing threshold for all gyms. And this is really to avoid the race to the bottom. And I think that's...
But also, it's just position CrossFit above the other options. Yeah. You know, they need to position CrossFit as, hey, it's more complex. There's onboarding. It is a higher level of fitness than a lot of these group franchises and curves circuit classes.
Yeah.
But that, even if you position it that way, if gyms go out there and just charge $40 a week for it, then in the eyes of the consumer, it's obviously not.
Yeah. Remember, every single time a CrossFit gym takes its prices down, it is hurting the global CrossFit affiliate market. As people start to devalue CrossFit within their own four walls, it is devaluing every other CrossFit gym, which is part of the reason we chose to get out. If someone down the road, say you've got 10 CrossFit gyms in your area that someone could go to, which is honestly a realistic scenario in some cities.
100%.
If someone is charging $40 a week for that CrossFit and one is charging $100 a week, it's worth $100 a week, but someone's charging 40, the market thinks it's worth 40. That person that's charging 100, you just made their lives so much more difficult, and you made everyone's lives worse. You made your life worse because you're getting less money. You're trying to do a good service here. And so, having a pricing threshold. Now, I say a threshold because, you know, some areas, it's like if you're in a lower socioeconomic area, obviously the price can't be that high. But in some, and I think CrossFit would use global analytics and economics and areas and stuff to be like, hey, this is where you should price between and give them like a $10 threshold per week or whatever. You're $60 to $70 per week and then go to the other gyms. So, so people would be choosing really between $10 per gym. You wouldn't want to go more than that within a certain area.
Like, it's okay, you know, if in like some regional remote area of Northern Territory, it's like half the price of in the CBD.
It doesn't affect Sydney.
It doesn't affect us. You know, it's quite easy. You just need to have like regional pricing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that that would make such a difference. So next thing is, so make a clear distinction between the CrossFit sport movements and the CrossFit affiliate movement. So essentially what we do is we divide the gym up into we divide movements that are in the programs into two categories, CrossFit sport and CrossFit affiliate. And there'd be like a little introduction video when clients come to the gym as part of their onboarding, and it'd be like, all right, welcome, you are joining a CrossFit affiliate. It's like, you may have seen the sport of CrossFit montage, which is like Matt Fraser fucking going up and down the rope and stuff. Getting under a fucking heavy snatch, Noah Olsen standing up going, and the crowd screaming. That's the CrossFit sport. These are the movements in the CrossFit sport. Butterfly pull-ups, fucking squat snatches, rope climbs, all this crazy shit, muscle ups. And people are like, oh shit, that's like crazy stuff. And this is the CrossFit affiliate. These are the movements of CrossFit. Box step up. Single unders. No, and then you'd have like just the movements that you would have in the affiliate. And then you'd be like, hey, look, so those CrossFit sport movements, like if you want to do those, we have a CrossFit sport class. This is on these days. You can learn those movements there in the CrossFit affiliate, just so you're setting the expectation, right? You're going to get an amazing workout. It's going to be great. You're going to make heaps of progress. And every other class you're going to do is going to have these affiliate movements. If you want that crazy, cool CrossFit sport shit, you need to go to those classes to get it, which I think some affiliates kind of did a version of that, but it wasn't obviously standardized. And then some gyms could just not offer CrossFit sport. So people come in, be like, hey, this is CrossFit sport. Unfortunately, if you're here for this, our gym doesn't offer it. But you know, this gym, you know, 2 miles down the road offers CrossFit sport.
Because what tends to happen is most affiliate owners, they want to just offer CrossFit affiliate programming. And then you get this 10% of members, often OG members, that really want to do the sport movements, and they pressure the programming to push towards the sport programming.
Yeah.
When the vast majority are happy with the affiliate programming. So it would just make it really clear, hey, we follow affiliate programming. It's really good programming. And it, you know, just doesn't have a lot of those movements, but, you know, has movements on the way towards them. And one day, if you'd like to go to a sport, you can.
Man, it'd be such a simple, like 2-3 minute video, and it would just help clients so much when they're coming to the gym. They really don't know what kind of movements they're
going to get. No, and then they ask, hey, like, why aren't we doing some of those movements in the CrossFit Games? And it's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a very good question. It was on the movie.
Yeah.
This would just make it clear.
Yeah. Number 12. So let's just use Rogue for this example. And I think you'd probably be the most likely contender for this. But one company, so say Rogue, would do all the fit outs for all the gyms. And so that what that would mean is that it would just give some consistency to the standard of the style and standard of equipment that CrossFit gym owners would get access to. So like, you know, if you're going to do that globalized programming, you know, you can't really have like a water rower and a Concept 2. You can't really have like, you know, a Schwinn bike and a Rogue bike. It just kind of, there's a bit of a mismatch there. And then what you could do as well is you could just pay an ongoing fee, an optional ongoing fee for Rogue to come out every, say, 2 months or every quarter to come and do equipment replacements and repairs. And that would create an ongoing revenue cycle for Rogue as well, because Rogue would get this sort of ongoing fee from the affiliates. And the affiliates would keep all their equipment fresh and up to date. It's probably the one thing that happens with affiliates is their equipment gets trashed, it goes to shit, and they never look after it. And it just, the standard of the CrossFit gym drops because the equipment's just so old and beat up, and people are like grabbing bands that are about to snap and shit, you know. So, and it would just I think work in really, really nicely. Just keep the bikes working, keep the, you know, and even Rogue would gather data on like, oh wow, this equipment is breaking so much and we're constantly having to replace it. Let's improve this piece of equipment. And so the whole thing would just, I think, get better in general.
The Open wouldn't come out and we all have to go buy 22.5 kilo dumbbells for the Open. Like, that was nuts, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so this next one, a deeper and longer coaches education course. So we're thinking like 12 months. This, it sounds like a lot because right now they have a weekend, but 12 months is standard. You know, the CrossFit Level 1, there is nothing bad about it. It's fantastic. The only problem is really it's just a weekend. And then there's not much incentive to do the Level 2 programs or anything like that. And that's why, you know, other companies like whatever Training Think Tank or OPEX, they bring out long-term curriculums.
Mm. It'd
be fantastic to have a long-term curriculum. Anyone that's serious about being a coach should be doing the long-term curriculum. It would be an expectation as an owner. And then we would just, you know, upgrade all the coaches around the world.
Yeah, it seems a shame that, you know, in Australia's example, you do a Cert 3 and a Cert 4, which is just the kind of minimum bare level entry to coach any group fitness or to PT, personal train someone. And that usually takes 6 months, 6 to 12 months. But CrossFit, I would argue, is more complex in what you have to teach. You have to teach Olympic weightlifting, gymnastics, strongman, powerlifting, conditioning, all this sort of stuff. And it takes you, what, 48 hours to do it? No, it's not long enough. So the curriculum would involve, okay, you have to go to your local affiliate and you have to do X amount of floor hours. You have to pass this many tests. You have these modules to go through. So you would just build it out, because what a CrossFit coach needs to teach is so complex and there's so many layers to it. It can simply not be done in a weekend. You can learn the theory of it in a weekend, but you cannot get the skills and learn the processes that you'll need to kind of be ready to coach CrossFit. And I think what would be really good about that as well is I think it would give, you could build out within that almost a financial pathway as well. So it's like, hey, this is the system of how coaches get paid at affiliates. And there's like, you know, beginner trainer, they get paid this much. There's, you know, intermediate trainer, they get paid this much. And then there's like master trainer and they get paid this much. And that would give more of a career path for the CrossFit coach, which I think would be amazing. If someone knew that, hey, if I put in 10 years of work in a good affiliate, I'm going to, you know, make $100,000 a year or something like that. So I think it can go a long way. The next thing, so number 14 is basically an affiliate owner's entry course. So that would have aptitude tests within it. So that was kind of to our point earlier where I was talking about a business owner's training course. But this is essentially what it would be now, but it would be the gateway into owning an affiliate. So rather than be like, all right, you've got, you know, $50,000 and you're ready to pay us to be an affiliate, tick, you're in. No, you need like a proper aptitude test. You need spreadsheet education, you need marketing, sales education, you need operational education, you need experience. You've got to go learn from another affiliate owner for like, you know, a month, 2 months or whatever behind the scenes. You just have to have a minimum standard for someone to open an affiliate, because so many people, I tell you right now, would not have qualified to meet that standard.
Yeah, I think if you become an OPEX gym, there's like 6 to 12 month education before you open.
Yeah. And that is what's necessary to be successful and to protect the brand and make it better. And so that would be amazing if they implemented that. And I think people would just, like, people would be going through this and be like, whew, thank God I learned this stuff before opening an affiliate. Fuck, I didn't know about that. Those would be the internal dialogue of people going through this course. And that's the kind of stuff that you want. You don't want people opening these things and then finding out 3 years later when they're closing it, like, oh, shit. That's how you pay your taxes. Fuck, I had no idea. It's like, it's too late now. So the next number 15, you've got an affiliate owner category. So the reason I picked this one is because the problem with what's great about like Barry's Bootcamp, Orange Theory, F45 is they all look really similar on the inside. Now, I understand CrossFit gyms in the city versus CrossFit gyms in rural areas can be massively different in terms of their sizes. So what you would do is you would just have categories. So you would just say, okay, every CrossFit gym needs a minimum of this much ceiling height. So don't even go into anywhere that doesn't even have this much ceiling height, because we have rings and we have ropes, for example. Anything above that is a bonus. If you have this much floor space for the gym, doesn't matter what the layout is. If you have this much floor space, you are category one. This much floor space, category two, three, four, five, all the way up into it, some massive fucking air hanger for a gym. And what that would allow gyms to do, and for CrossFit HQ to do, is to be like, all right, so for this size category gym, this is your class size cap. This is how much coaches can earn. This is how many classes you should put on. This is how many people you need to be full. This is how much money you can earn. This is the approximate revenue you're going to earn if you're full. And so, like, oh, cool. I want 6 category one gyms, and that's going to give me this much money in this sort of life and have predictability. Or I want 1 category 6 gym, and it's a massive gym, and it can earn this much money. And so you would have a way to work out those sort of things, and you would know when, hey, I'm approaching the cap, or hey, I need to put on more classes, or hey, I need to hire another coach. You would just have way more, and it really wouldn't be that hard to set up, to be honest. We have so much data already. We've done it ourselves. You would know optimal class size. You know how much it would cost in terms of fit out. It would just be so much more systemized, and you have just such a much better experience on location. How much equipment you need, everything.
Okay, number 16 and 17, this is much needed. A better social media strategy for HQ, and then also a social media marketing course for the owners of affiliates.
Yes, yeah. I mean, CrossFit HQ's marketing for the CrossFit Games was great. So that you can leave that.
Yeah.
But for CrossFit headquarters, for the affiliates, that was really poor. There was like old people like lifting jugs and stuff recently. I haven't checked it, but
it was bizarre because they had like all these old people doing like, you know, jugs, dumbbell rows, like with a milk bottle at home.
Yeah.
But aren't you meant to be advertising an affiliate in a gym?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, so you would just, maybe they knew COVID was coming. But all the stuff we just mentioned, that's the stuff you would market about.
Yeah.
You would market about all the benefits of
how
what it's
epic
like to
it
come
is
to
in
a gym.
Gym.
Yeah. Yeah, we have our global analytics platform, and we find that, you know, clients that come to CrossFit gyms lose this much weight and get this strong and back squat this much and stay, you know, 6.5 times longer than any other group fitness, you know, stuff like that. And just, you know, more testimonials from like customers and testimonials from affiliates like, hey, you know, owning an affiliate changed my life. Like, I own a category three and 3 category three affiliates, and, you know, I have this many coaches employed by me. Like, you would, fuck, you make such a big difference. It'd be crazy.
Okay, a global partnership with an injury rehab clinic or something like the Ready State, which is Kelly Starrett.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, at the end of the day, I've seen people get injured just lifting an empty barbell for a strict press, just not warming up properly. The reality is you can reduce injury, but you can't completely get rid of it. So having a global partnership, maybe it'd be by continent, You'd have to find some really big rehab companies, and they all really exist, and just partner with them and just have like a really good place for standardized care and referrals. So it's like, hey, as soon as someone gets injured, as soon as someone presents with these symptoms, you immediately go to this place, and there's kind of like a nice back and forth between the affiliate and the rehab clinic. So just keep people training, keep them moving, and just offer really good value. It's like, hey, when you come here, you get an injury or you've got some existing injuries, we're going to put you with these rehab specialists. And just takes care of that whole injury side of things, which is obviously huge.
Okay, number 19. This is a big one. So this is what CrossFit recommends. You've probably heard this before.
This is nutrition.
Eat meat and vegetables, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, and no sugar. And keep intake to levels that will support exercise, but not body fat. If you think that's all you need, if you just tell someone that, then they are ready to destroy their nutrition.
Yeah.
I mean, most people, who knows what starch is?
Yeah, they don't.
A client walks in, oh, starch, got it.
And what and little sugar. I mean, what is little? How do you quantify little?
I mean, you know, Lane Norton would barely know what you need immediately to support exercise and not body fat.
Yeah.
That is such a big ask for someone. Like, oh, yeah, sure. No worries. I'll eat as much to support exercise, not body fat. I mean, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
Right? It's not that that's such a bad saying or anything, but it's just there's way more, you know, that can be done here.
Well, it's a great saying. It just doesn't mean anything because there's no context to it.
It's not practical.
Yeah.
Right? It's not practical for affiliates. They could have really good nutrition education. You know, obviously some affiliates got probably down the wrong path sometimes, like focusing too much on like paleo guidelines and stuff like that.
Zone guidelines.
Yeah. Rather than just trying to help clients. But
how many blocks of nuts do I need in a day?
and also, I mean, it's all around the world, CrossFit. If you think that you can just do exactly the same nutrition plan in the States as you can in Rome, Italy, as like Sydney and South America, like no, like really different areas.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to have to
different
be
some, cultures.
Yeah, totally different cultures in what, you know, like paleo is not going to go down a treat in Florence, Italy.
Mm.
They're just not going to be like, yeah, got it. This is the coolest thing ever, right?
Get rid of pasta.
Yeah, like, you know, their grandma's going to like throw them out of the house. So it's just not very good.
Yeah.
Where if they partner someone with like, I don't know, like Precision Nutrition or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like WAG that we've had on the show or Beyond Macros, any of these places do a good job, you know?
Yeah.
And I think they should just partner with them, maybe teach coaches how to teach nutrition really well in the gyms,
mm-hmm.
Or just completely leave it and say, hey, we don't touch nutrition, go to like PN, because they're good at it, but you have to pick which one you're going to do.
I think it would just be great if they just referred out straight away.
Yeah.
Just take the pressure off the affiliates.
I mean, if you look at someone like F45, I don't think they do a very good job with their nutrition.
Horrible job.
You know, it's just like starvation diets and stuff, and there's not much nuance to it. And what most people do that run good F45s, you know, they read up on Lane Norton and stuff, and they see what is good nutrition, and they implement that. So they should either go down that path or just leave it and make it clear that they leave it.
Yeah. 20. Final thing. Pretty straightforward. Obviously, a lot of changes here. You would have to increase the affiliate fee.
Yes.
Not dramatically, but I think it's around like $3,000 right now. It probably needs to be around $10,000 to $15,000. But if you got all those things we just talked about, you would completely change your life. The idea behind opening the affiliate was to, you know, quit whatever job you were doing that wasn't fulfilling you and change people's lives for the better and, you know, participate in the sport and do something awesome for the rest of your life. But because there has been no support for it, this just hasn't become a reality for affiliate owners. For many affiliate owners, I'd say, you know, the 1% of affiliate owners actually have kind of made this happen for themselves. So if you did this, if you brought in a global standard for changes to CrossFit affiliates, you would not only boost the profile and absolutely make the company more money and more profitable, but you, for the affiliate owners, for the people on the ground doing the work for the brand, you completely change their lives. And for many of us now, it's too late. Like for us, it's too late. Like we're gone. And that ship sailed. We're doing our own thing now. We're starting a new brand. And, you know, we just become like completely disenfranchised with the whole thing. So I think that it's not too late. It's definitely not too late. You can still make these changes. And we hope that whoever's in charge and is listening now can definitely look to make some of these changes. And yeah, like I said, we're happy to continue this conversation because we think it's an important one because there's still more affiliates in the world than any other gym franchise or gym affiliates out there. So we hope it's going to get better. We hope that some of these sorts of changes are made. Obviously, all of them don't need to get made, but God, if they even brought in, you know, two or three of these.
Yeah, like, I mean, to be honest, if they brought in some of this stuff, I would use some of them. If they had a really good long-term coaches education course,
yeah,
I'd probably be like, oh, yeah, that's probably a good one for my coach to do. You know, you're looking to do some education. Maybe do the CrossFit one. They've got, like, Kelly Sarred, and they've got this person, they've got that person. They brought all the big names they used to have, you know, like Power Athlete. John Welborn's in there teaching courses. I would be like, yes, that sounds like one of the best courses in the world to jump on, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think hopefully they can do it, and hopefully they can... bring it back, or maybe not, and they'll just get worse.
There you go. Well, Eric, it's on you now. So you've heard the information. It's up to you to make the changes. And guys, if you are looking to sell your gym or get it valued, or you're interested in what the processes look like to, you know, turn your gym into cash, then you can go to AFS Brokers. That's AFSBROKERS.com.au, and yeah, get that thing listed and make some money. All right, guys, thanks so much. We'll speak to you next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/theaftershow, and if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.